Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Psalm 3, look at verse 1. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Now, Selah appears, you know, about 70 times in Psalms. And that word Selah, it means one of two things normally. Commonly people know that word Selah to mean to stop and meditate on what was just written. Selah, by some, also believe that that has to do with the timing of the music. All of these psalms were sung. This was the songbook, and these psalms were sung, and Selah, obviously, would control the timing and when pause would be in a song or different things of that nature. What's interesting in Psalm 3 is that Selah is given three different times. Now, there's only eight verses. And so as we look at this meaning to stop and really meditate, think about what you have just heard or sung, we think that, man, there's a lot of room to pause and meditate and stop in this one chapter in eight short verses. Notice, if you would, verse 3. But thou, O Lord, that means verse 1 and 2 say one thing, and then we change directions. Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Lord, we need you this morning, and I know, Lord, I especially need you, and I know the things you've laid on my heart, and Lord, may I make them clear and plain. May your word be a blessing to our people, as it was to me. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things I want you to see first before we dig into this. This psalm was written at a very difficult time in David's life. David was literally running from his own son. His son Absalom was trying to kill his dad. He was not trying to just get his dad's crown and be king. He was trying to kill his dad. And the Bible gives a lot about Absalom. The Bible describes Absalom as a rebellious young man. The Bible describes Absalom as a very popular young man. The Bible says that Absalom oftentimes would stand outside of the gates, and when people would be upset or disagree with David the king, that Absalom would go and talk to them, and he would say something like, well, if you don't agree with that, I don't either. If you'll help me to become king, or if I was king, I would do like what you just said. And he would kind of win, try to gain the hearts of the people and different things. And so we know Absalom had his issues, but I will say this, that there are a lot of us that would think maybe Absalom had good reason to hate his dad and to be mad at his dad. And what had happened, just to give you a little bit of background, David, you all know about the sin that David had with Bathsheba. David was the king, and they were at war, and David should have been at war, but he was at home, and he was in his king's chambers, and he was looking out over his kingdom, and he saw a woman taking a bath on her rooftop, and he lusted after her. And being the king, he did what he wanted to do, and he had them bring that woman, Bathsheba, to him, and he did that which was not right. And she became pregnant, and he began to panic, thinking that her husband was at war, and here I am here, and she ends up pregnant. People are going to know something went on. So he sent and had her husband brought back to just spend the night there. He thought maybe if he comes home, he and his wife will be together, and then they'll think that's the reason, and then her husband will know this is the reason, because if she ends up pregnant, he knows he hadn't been home for probably a year or two, that he would know something was wrong. But, you know, unfortunately for David's plan, but as always in the providence of God, he was such a good man that her husband, instead of going home to his wife, he slept outside of David's door to protect him because he was a soldier. Well, when David found this out, it ruined his plan, and so David sent that man, her husband, to the battlefield, to the very front line, knowing he would be killed. This is all in an attempt to cover his sin. And it was bad. And things began to happen one after another from that point. And the baby that Bathsheba had died. And so David had to basically pay for his sin through that. And then David had a daughter. And he had another son. And they were stepbrothers. It was a stepbrother and a stepsister. And David's son Amnon ended up raping his own half-sister Tamar. So David's son raped David's daughter. And although they were stepbrother and sister, he ended up raping her. And Absalom, who was Tamar's full brother. Amnon was just a half-brother, but Tamar was Absalom's sister, full blood, you know, dad and mom. And David the king didn't really do anything about it. And so Absalom took things under control, and obviously Amnon was killed, and so Absalom was mad at his dad. He hadn't defended his sister, and his dad had done things that were wrong and got this woman pregnant, and he was the king, and Absalom had a lot of bitterness and a lot of resentment and a lot of these things that happened. And so now in Psalm chapter 3, David is running from his son, and Absalom had turned much of the kingdom against David, and now David is running, and he runs up to the Mount of Olives. We know later where he is here in Psalm chapter 3, and he is up on the Mount of Olives, running for his life, praying, he's singing, he is trying to do everything he can do to keep a relationship with God despite what's been done, despite fearing for his life, despite these down days and hurtful days and dark days that he's in. So we find here in verse 1 that David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. Number one, I want you to understand this chapter. Number one, we see David's restlessness. The Bible says here in verse 1 that he said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And he was fleeing from Absalom, his son. Number one, I want you to see that he had a problem with family. I know if you're a parent, that you have probably at times experienced problems with your kids, be they young, teens, older, whatever. There always ends up to be issues and some things, but I wonder how many of you have actually had to run for your life because your son or daughter was trying to kill you. Maybe some of you have actually faced that. I don't know about you. That's not what I've been. It's been the temptation sometimes to run after them and try to hunt them down, but you ever had family problems? Do you know it's very difficult when you have problems with family? Let me ask you this. Have you ever had problems with your children? Have you ever been hurt because of what your children have done or the direction that they're going? Here's David hiding out for his life. Literally, who had been the king, now he was hiding in brushes and caves and dark areas and shaded areas because his own son was trying to kill him. Number two, he had persecution from friends. He didn't just have problems with family, but he had persecution from friends. You see, when it says here that he was running from his son, then he says this, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they, notice this, that rise up against me. He is describing people that used to be for him, people that used to be loyal to him, people that used to love him. Now they had risen up against him. These are people that he had trusted and loved. And by the way, David had been very good to his son Absalom. He had been very lenient and he had been very merciful to Absalom. And now Absalom had repaid him by trying to kill him. And then David had individuals as the king that he had taken care of, that he had shown loyalty to. And now they had gathered around Absalom and now they were rising up against David. Have you ever experienced persecution from friends? You know what I find interesting? David here says two things about this. Number one, he says that there were very many. And number two, he says that they were very malicious. What's amazing is that as Absalom began to turn against his dad, the snowball began in motion. And David here in Psalm 3 literally talks as a person that is absolutely amazed, that just can't believe that so many people that he loved and trusted were now against him. Have you ever been there in your life, maybe at a job? Maybe in your own family? Folks that you trusted, folks that you loved, folks that you thought, you know, surely they would never. And they did. This is how David was feeling. What I find interesting here, that David, amidst persecution from his friends and problems with his family, David here was still having communion with God. Can I give you a little bit of advice this morning? And I want to help you. Let no kindness or unkindness, and let no persecution or abuse ever make you stop your communion with God. Because that's exactly what Satan wants. The average person, when there's problems with family, our tendency is to back away from them and from God. And the common person, when they begin to have problems with friends or people, they begin to stop reading their Bible and stop praying and stop going to church and stop winning the spiritual battle. And dear friends, Satan is winning every day. I want to challenge you. It doesn't matter what family or friends or anybody does to you. Don't let it stop your communion with God. As a Christian, that's your lifeblood. So many people do. Let me tell you the third thing that he's facing here, which I find to me the most damaging. Look, if you would, at verse 2. He says, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. What I find interesting in David's restlessness here, why he couldn't hardly sleep and he couldn't hardly eat and he was running for his life, is because he had problem with family and he had persecution for friends. But let me tell you, what was weighing on him heavily was past failure. You see, what David here is saying is that there's a lot of people that are saying, because of what I've done, that there's no help for him. David is saying, they're literally saying this about me and my soul, that even God can't help him, that wicked king, because of what he's done. I don't know about you, but I find at times that, you know what, eventually maybe I could deal if there's problems with family and when there's persecution from friends or whatever the case might be, that eventually maybe you can get victory and get over that. But can I tell you something, dear friends? The hardest thing that I have ever had to deal with, and I deal with it every day of my life, is failure of myself. And as David is running and hiding, there had to be part of him that realized that he had created some of this by the failures he had done. Anybody here ever failed? Anybody here ever found it difficult to deal with yourself when you have blown it? David comes to God and he basically lays out what they were saying about him. Literally, they were saying, even God can't help you, David. We're after you, we're going to kill you, and God's not even going to help you because you have failed. And if you're not careful, that's exactly what Satan wants you to think.
Right.
When you've blown it, it's done.
Amen.
God can't get you out of this situation. Even God can't help you now. God's probably mad at you, and God doesn't want anything to do with you because you've blown it, because you have done this in your life. And dear friend, you might be here, and you might have made some mistakes, and you might have apologized and gotten right, and then you messed up again. But I'm here to tell you, God doesn't hold that against you. He forgives us through exactly what Deborah was talking about, his grace. David said, they say of me, Lord, that you won't even help me. He's talking to God right here. He said, God, they're saying about me that I can't even get help from you. And to this complaint, he adds the word Selah. And he is saying this. It's literally a long pause, that all the things that they had said hurtful, what had hurt David the most was that they said that God can't even help you. And David stops right there, and there's a long pause as he talks to God, wondering for a response. God, is that true? That even you can't help me? That even you would turn your back on me right now when everybody in my life has turned their back on me? I find it interesting that you find the attitude change as verse 3 begins. And what happens is David literally is saying here, let them say what they want, but what I am concerned about is what you have to say, God. And can I give you a little bit of advice today? What's not important in your life is what people have to say. What is important is what God has to say. That's what's important. Well, let's see what God had to say to David. Let's see, by the way, as we look through this chapter, what God is to his people, what God here is to David, what David found in God, and what you and I can find in God. Because as David was restless in verse 1 and 2, beginning in verse 3, we find something interesting here. David describes his relationship with the Lord. So David goes from restlessness to his relationship. Let's look at our relationship with God. Now, this encouraged me. Here's David in a dark time. This is what people are saying, God. This is what I'm going through. I'm hiding from my life. Look, if you would, at verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. This begins the part of David's relationship with the Lord. And David begins to describe it. And I want to encourage you with this today. Number one, you'll see that it is a pardoned relationship. Here's what's interesting. Notice those first three words. But thou, O Lord. Now that word O is not a word. So before you begin to say, there's four words. No, it's not. It's three words in a letter. I watched Sesame Street when I was younger. Blah, blah, blah. But you remember the count? Anyway, we don't talk about that. Notice what he says in verse 2. This is what people are saying. They have passed judgment. They say there's no help for me. They say I've blown it. They say I'm dead. But in verse 3, but thou, O Lord. What he is saying is this. God, they have passed judgment. They have passed sentence. They are done with me. But you think differently.
Amen.
Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you have a pardoned relationship. People might say whatever they want to about you, but God doesn't feel that way. They might look and say, you're a failure, but God says, you're my friend. They might look at you and say, you know what? You have blown it. But God looks at you and says, you're forgiven. But thou, O Lord, isn't it wonderful to know? It doesn't matter what anybody else has to say. What's important is what God says. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, your whole family and your whole whatever social circles might have turned on you, but the Lord feels different. The Bible says he will never leave thee nor forsake thee, even if you've blown it. A pardoned relationship. What I love about this, by the way, is that conjunction, B-U-T. Now, there are other conjunctions. There's a conjunction called and. And you know what the conjunction and does? And connects or continues. But the conjunction but, it changes. And continues and obviously connects. But that conjunction but changes thought. That means this. The word and means whatever's coming next is exactly what was in the front. But the word but means this, that what was said now, there's a different opinion coming.
Amen.
They say this, God, but thou say differently. A pardoned relationship. Notice number two, we see a protecting relationship. David said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield. Protection. That means this, everybody might be against me, but God, I don't have any kind of a shield. I don't have any way to defend myself. I'm out here hiding in the shrubs and the bushes up here on the Mount of Olives. Man, I am crying half the time. I'm praying half the time. I'm trying to sing psalms half the time. And God, I'm about to go crazy. I don't have any way to defend myself, but God, you're my shield. Dear friend, listen to me. May I give you another little piece of advice? Quit trying to protect yourself.
Amen.
Quit trying to take care of everybody else and block what they have to say and constantly trying to fix this and fix that. Dear friend, you don't have to be your own shield. God is your shield. And you know, the only way you and I ever find that out is when we get to the point that we can't defend ourselves. And God comes through. Dear friend, you're going to drive yourself nuts trying to answer everybody that criticizes you. And let me tell you something, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of preachers get up and blast technology and different things, and I'm here to tell you I don't feel necessarily that way about it. I think technology is just like everything else in this world. It can be used for good and it can be used for bad. And I'm going to tell you something, even something like Facebook, I have seen Facebook be a blessing to my family. I don't even have Facebook. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have the time. And, all I can see is a bunch of problems coming out of it because somebody would want to friend me and I don't want to friend them back. Or maybe I didn't see it. I didn't see it for a month and I'm going to lose families out of my church because preacher didn't friend me on Facebook. So I'm not even going to go through that. But I'm going to tell you something. I have watched Facebook be a blessing as folks spread things and people pray for you and they know about things. And I'm going to tell you something. They just recently did a TV story in Denver, Colorado about Caden. Some of you might have seen the TV video. I don't get up and say a lot about it. And this man in Denver is building a bed for Caden because he heard about his condition. And I go through the whole thing. And he raised money on social media. Some of you might have even given to that. And he raised money. He's building this bed, driving it all the way from Denver to August to give it to Caden because of his heart condition and different things. And they did a whole TV story in Denver. They Skype my wife and I, and we're interviewing with a reporter there, and it hit the news, and I think last count like 38,000 people have watched this video, and we asked for prayer for Caden, and we have gotten emails and texts, people, I'm praying for Caden, praying for Caden. I don't know Caden. I'm here to tell you, I'm so thankful that word spreads like that, and I'm so thankful for every prayer that God would give or people would give to God on behalf of my son. I am for all that, but I'm here to tell you, one of the downside about social media is that when you get criticized or somebody's after you or somebody's against you, they're going to get on there and type that, and you might not even know who they are, and you don't have a face, and all of a sudden people will begin to jump on, and all of a sudden you think a bunch of people are against you. And I'm here to tell you that you're going to drive yourself crazy to try to defend yourself to everybody. Let God be your shield. Yeah, David said, you're my shield. I am not strong enough right now, God, to be my own shield. Here's a man, David, that killed a giant. Here's a man, David, that tore a lion's mouth apart, who killed a bear barehanded, who had literally slain thousands of men on his own. Now he couldn't even protect himself. He said, God, you're my shield. Let me tell you something. You go ahead and you try to protect yourself all you want to, but I'm here to tell you, eventually the time will come when you can't, and God will have to be your shield. I want you to notice, not only is it a pardoned relationship, a protecting relationship, but, oh, I love this, it's a personal relationship. David said this, but thou, O Lord, art a shield, what? For me. Isn't it nice to know that God is a shield and He gives grace and glory? But what is even more wonderful is that He's your shield. It's personal. God takes care of you like you're the only person in the world. David said, God, you're a shield. That makes it obviously protecting, but he said, for me, that makes it personal. You're my shield. You're there when I need you. You're always with me. You're always protecting. You're always watching. Dear friend, how blessed you ought to be this morning. I don't care what's going on in your life and how bad it is. Let me tell you something. You and I have no idea how many things God has protected us from over the years, and He did it for you personally. It's personal. He's a shield for me. Let me say next that we only see that it's a pardoned relationship. It's a protected relationship, a shield. It's a personal relationship for me. And notice this, it's a praising relationship. David says this, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. And he says this, my glory. That means this. Now listen, you got to understand what David here. David here admits that with his failures, there is nothing in himself to glory about. The only thing in David's life worth giving glory to was his Lord. You are my glory. And by the way, listen to this. God is the only thing in your life worth glorying about. Amen. Can I ask you something? Is God the only glory in your life? Or is there a part of you that glorifies in you? I'm going to be honest with you. It's amazing how personal failure can change that and humble us. It's amazing how you and I will glory in ourselves very willingly. But as soon as we blow it and we fail and folks start turning against us, then we realize, I got nothing to glory about, only God. May I say this, that here is David who allowed himself to have impure thoughts, and then he allowed himself to have impure actions. And he was the king, and he had what he wanted. And by the way, David had 7 wives at the time that he did this with Bathsheba. I've been working on a message. A lot of people didn't know that. I've studied every one of his 7 wives, and it is an interesting study, let me tell you. But this man had 7 wives, and then here comes Bathsheba, and here he's the king. He had impure thoughts, impure actions. He's on top of the world, thinks he can do whatever he wants to do. He does what he wants, get what he wants. He has whoever killed that he wants. And now, after being big king, and being on top of the hill, now he's hiding in bushes, running for his life. And now he says, God, you're my only glory. I have failed. I have blown it. But God, you have it. You're my glory. Dear friend, I don't know about you, but when you have some failures in your life as I have, there ain't nothing left in here to glory of. There ain't nothing left to brag about. There's nothing left to try to get credit for something. I've blown it way more than I've been victorious. God's my only glory. You come up, if you're nice, and some people are kind, I know that probably half the time they're not telling the truth and they don't mean it. But if you come up and you say, preacher, that was a great message today. Can I tell you something? There ain't no part of Daniel Hawtrey that thinks Daniel Hawtrey had anything to do with that. Because Daniel Hawtrey knows Daniel Hawtrey's failures. And I'm here to tell you, to God be the glory. If God uses something in your life. David said here, it's a praising relationship. And by the way, we all eventually will find through circumstances in our life that God is our only glory. I want you to notice next, he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. Notice this, a providing relationship, the lifter up of my head. And by the way, you say, preacher, what are you saying here? I am saying this, that when you're low and when you're down and when you're defeated, the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life and he lifts up that head. He provides that strength. He provides that encouragement, whatever is needed to get that head up and get that spirit up and get back out to serve God. That Holy Spirit provides that in your life. It's a providing relationship. Dear friend, look at me. I'm not, this isn't about me, but I'm going to tell you, I can't use one of you. I might hurt your feelings if I gave your life story. But I'm going to tell you something. The past 3 or 4 years, there have been enough circumstances in my life through the things we have been through, sitting in hospitals, watching a mom die, watching a child, an infant go through surgeries, whatever the case might be. There's been a lot of times that I'm going to tell you that my head has been lifted up and I made it to the pulpit on Sunday morning and I tried to preach with a fresh heart and I tried to preach as best I could with a clean heart and a pure heart. And the only reason that my head was lifted up is because God did it. Because I did not have the strength to lift up my own head. But God provides that. And you might have had times in your life, by the time a Sunday night's done, you don't even have strength to get up on Monday morning and go to work. But you wake up and you do it. Why? Because God lifts up that head. Dear friend, quit trying to lift it up on your own. Quit trying to find this and that to make you happy and to make you content. Dear friend, you can't. We're not made with the ability. God has to lift up our head.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirtlandbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirtland broadcast today. God bless you.